And I can tell by you saying that you have a structure in mind.
Well, that's the word.
That's what's good about you. Yes, I mean, look, folks. She's all computer tonight. She's on computer. She's lost her fucking mind over this.
It's all computer in here. Oh, baby, it's not possible to leave it all right, to leave it all
right. I guess it's not logical to say so right. From the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast, I'm Rob. This is the Highlands Bunker Podcast. Hello. I mentioned it before we turned the microphones on. I had to set up the studio in the most... like comforting, all my accoutrements are here. I get to sit. There's no desk. It's just very freeing because I know my blood's going to boil tonight. It's going to boil, I can tell you. Carl is here. Carl, welcome back from Detroit. You drove there to drive in a race, I think, and came back. Do you want to talk about what you were doing there?
Yeah, it's actually the longest professional race. It goes from Wilmington to Detroit and back. And yeah, completed in a couple hours.
Have you guys seen Cannonball Run?
No, but I know of it.
Well, check that out. This is the Zoomer version of the Dom DeLuise, Burt Reynolds, 1982 spectacular. You got to look to see if Cannonball Run was in 82. That would be incredible if it was. Anyway, so I wanted to this week to talk about the reassessment for a little bit. It was a special session, and I can tell you that it was real special. It was special. And I thought, who could sort of review this material with me who actually understands it and has good takes? And there's only actually one person, we've said it over and over again, and that's our comrade and friend, Jessica Rain. So thank you for coming and doing this.
Of course. Even though you said you would not be doing this again.
I said here I wasn't going to be doing. I know.
You can't take us out of our
I word. Know. You can't.
We're sick.
We're very ill. When we were texting back and forth about doing this, we're like, this is sick.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're not going to do it. And then like a day later, we're like, we're doing it. Okay, we're doing it. So they have a special session. I guess I'll just set it up. I didn't follow any of the pro forma stuff where everybody reads their reports and shows their reports. So I missed all of that in the morning. I had like regular work to do. So I did pick it up, like as the testimony started, like the questions,
the Q&A, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was like noon or whatever.
Which is actually where I picked it up too, because okay. I also have a job. Yeah, I was like eating lunch, and I don't 5 hours in the middle of work.
We're not
day.
Playing with that.
But so, I was eating lunch, and I was like, you know what? Let me be sick.
So did you appreciate the setup where they really set it up like a full? You know, they had the desks turned around, so they had the dais there that they normally have, yes, with the people there, but then they turned a bunch of desks around,
yes,
and really made it look, they really made it look special, I thought.
And kind of daunting. And there's so many of them, so it's just like desks on desks. And then there's just this like gulf between where all the legislators are sitting and then everyone who's giving a presentation. I think because they had to like get far enough away to be able to get everyone in the camera, like the camera shot.
So yeah, because it's a one. It's
so you can't
folks,
see.
I don't know if you guys
you can
have
only
watched
see
video.
The legislators.
The live stream from Leg Hall is a what we call a one camera shoot.
Yeah. Well, no, like, it's multicam.
I never
but it's
seen
only
multicam.
One at a time. No, they had a camera facing the legislators, and then they had one facing the people giving testimony. You didn't watch the beginning.
Oh, I didn't watch. The beginning.
I went back.
Oh, you actually went back,
dude. I'm sick.
That's gross.
I know.
How dare you?
I went back.
So, okay, so do you want to cover anything that happened in the morning with the presentations before we get into the questions?
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because from the news, the first thing that happened. So it was basically structured, we could talk a little bit about like how it was, right? It was testimony from Newcastle County, the City of Wilmington, and Tyler Technologies, all our faves, and then it was a lunch break. And then it was Q&A from all the legislators, and yep, then it was public comment. So, as I said, I went back and watched the testimony on 1.5 speed.
Okay, fair.
Because I was like, I don't have 5 hours.
Look,
in me.
Folks, we even have a breaking point.
Yeah, no, I couldn't take it. But basically, the first thing was breaking news. The assessment team, the Newcastle County, said, we should send the tentative value notices in the summer of 2024. But the Meyer administration and the executive office said, you know the news. What did they say?
November. He pushed it to November. He said it was tentative, and then, I mean, I don't know why he would push it past the election, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. I was like, that Meyer, he's so crafty. He's a political craftsman.
Right, so right off the bat,
yeah.
We got political intrigue. We've got accusations. We've got people making political moves. That's all the headlines.
Furtive moves.
Every headline.
You do a furtive move in the street, you could get shot.
That's a good point. So this was the big breaking news. Like, basically, I don't know, 5 minutes into the actual testimonies, we're getting breaking news. So people latched onto this in the Q&A, too. We can kind of, like, maybe talk about that when we talk about the legislator questions. But the reality is the timeline was always November 2024. And I'm going sicko mode, folks. I went into the project timeline. I went into the files.
Folks, I want you to pay the strictest attention to this. Like, I know a lot of people are listening right now and taking timestamps. I'm going to be saying a lot of insults later on. This is the important bit. Listen to this.
Yeah, I found some slides of an update on the project from Tyler from December 2023, when the timeline was always November 2024. And it literally says, when are we sending the notices? November 2024. So I don't know when this conversation might have happened, but if it's from, I don't know, if it was before December of 2023, maybe, but that seems unlikely because they didn't have any of this information. So in December of 2023, the timeline was November 2024. What I think might have happened is some point when they got the values after July 2024, the assessment team was like, maybe we should send them earlier. And the administration was like, no, stick with November. So I don't know that this is really the conspiracy that maybe everyone's making it out to be, because, you know, Meyer couldn't resist losing to, like, Mike Ramone.
I was completely prepared to defend Meyer for some political, foolishness, just because of the context. And then I found out you found this deck with the slide, and it was like, no, the year before, they were like, November of 2024. That was on a deck produced by the team doing it, like, the year before.
Right. So maybe they decided that at that point, but it didn't sound like that from the storyline. It sounded like once they got the values, the assessment team was saying, hey, let's release these as soon as possible. And the executive office, a.k.a. Matt Meyer's executive office, was like, no, we got to hold them. But at least a year before, the plan was November. So I just don't think this is as, like, salacious, maybe, as it was made out to be.
Well, that was my thing, because I jump in at the Q&A, and, you know, it was clear from the beginning, without talking, but we can talk about specifics and specific people.
I mean, we
people
can go, let's talk about this.
But
that's where I jumped in too, and I was like, wait, what happened?
It was clear from the beginning that, like, they were going to latch on to, and what I thought was, it seemed, you know, pretty well prepared that they were going to sort of latch onto the story and be like, and talk about that. Could we have interceded like Kent and Sussex did? You know, Buxton did that. And so it was pretty much like a bipartisan fucking little trick play they tried to do.
Mm-hmm. To make Matt the villain, which, again, I'm like, maybe, but it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that's the full story.
Look, that's the thing. Oh, Matt. Oh, Matt did this. Matt did that. I'm like, okay, well, if this was a gotcha, which it's not. I don't know if you found this, if you dug this up in the woods, like that, like
I dug John it up on the Smith, Newcastle like this, County government website.
Oh, this wasn't like the Book of Mormon, so you could actually, anybody can access this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So again, that was interesting to the point of like, so then when we tuned in, Kim Williams was doing her questioning. She was asking about this, and that did make me be like, wait, what did they find out? Oh, okay. And then Buxton, the only thing he did the whole time before he disappeared.
Dude, he did a takedown and some back points on that.
He kind of like yelling a little, not yelling, but like, you know, being
well, he
stern.
Did. Yeah, he was like, I don't know how this could happen.
I know. And he says, the reason we're here is because Matt Meyer pushed the release of these tentative valuations from the summer of 2024 to November 2024 for political reasons. And people didn't have enough time to react between November and March. And Townsend kind of weighs in, like, you're right, it would have given the state time to react, too.
It was. Townsend's like, imagine right in the middle of this committee, like, and Buxton's asking these questions. And then he goes on this, Buxton does, he goes on this little rant, as Jess is saying. And then at the end of the rant, Townsend's running, and Townsend's like, yeah, that's right, you guys all heard it. He's like shouting up Buxton. He's like, yeah. I was like, well, that's.
What would they have done differently, though?
That's
like,
strange.
Come on. Like, if you had 4 extra months, nothing would be different. We'd be in the exact same place.
So you would have been able to do what in those 4 months? Like, what would have happened? Like, what we're doing now, we would have done it before?
What would have happened is people would have had, let's call it 4 extra months to potentially file an appeal about their valuation. They still would not have known what their taxes were because we didn't find that out until after March. So there's not a lot that would have, I think, been different, frankly. No one articulated what would have been different. They're saying they would have had time to react, but the reality is nobody got a tax bill until after the appeal deadline anyway.
Yeah, somehow comparing
because
it to
that's
like,
how it has
Sussex,
to work.
It was fine. I'm like, I guess.
I don't know.
Like,
yeah, it seemed better, but I've seen a lot of people complain about
like
that,
you said,
too.
Nobody could really explain. Like, in these 4 months, we would have shown the dynamism
XYZ,
that we've never shown this kind of social reaction to anything.
Yeah.
We've never been efficient. We've never been productive. We've never been able to get anything done. But if you would have given us 3.5 extra months, we'd have had this whole thing sorted out.
So that was kind of a interesting thing that everyone tried to latch on to, and that was like out of the first presentation. This is sort of technical, but like Marcus does make a good point in his presentation that like any request for the county to change assessments are like outside of the appeal process or getting corrected information are just like illegal. So everyone trying to be like, you guys got to fix this, it's like the state code does not allow that. Like that would go against the code. So just telling the county to fix it is not a option. So he kind of makes that point. So it's like, he's trying to, like, it's funny, everyone's testimony is sort of just like, who can we shift focus on
it's
here?
It's a big finger point.
You know,
of course. Yeah.
So the first it was Meyer, then it was like, everyone who's saying, fix the numbers, we can't do that. And that's true. He also called out the fact that, like, our state code doesn't effectively define a lot of the terms or the assessment process. Like, other states, it will actually lay out, here's the models we're using. Here's what they mean. Here's how we expect this to be done. So because we don't have that here, it's basically left up to a company like Tyler to figure out, okay, what are the standards we're going to use? Like, it doesn't create transparency. So he's sort of making the point that, like, the state has some work to do here to make this be better in the future. So that's kind of what came out of him. Was like the breaking news that's maybe not so breaking news.
And actually, that's something similar.
By the way, you guys need to do something.
That is actually something similar to what I was talking about when I talked to like Brandon Toole and when we talked about it before. Like, I do think it's a good idea. Like banks have.
Yeah.
Like when we had models, they had adverse action reasons. The reason they had adverse action reasons is because you needed something to tell somebody if you took an adverse action or you took any action, you had to be able to somehow demonstrate what you did, maybe not in the calculation, but in regular terms.
Yeah.
And that's a banking rule. Now, you should have it make the rule, like you said. Other states have it. I didn't know that. But yeah, just say you had to tell us how you calculated it, and then we just have to live with it.
Yeah.
But some of this would
takes a lot of work.
But they would have done that in 3.5 months, though.
No, that's true.
They just would have known.
It wouldn't have mattered.
If they just would have known what they knew in 2023 when that PowerPoint deck came out.
So then the city gives a presentation. That presentation, okay, it's like, it's just funny again. Like, every presentation is like, okay, who are they firing at? So this one comes out and it's like, first thing was about problems of the methodology. And like calls out the fact that the methodology or the models didn't include permit data from the city and they didn't have interior assessments. This comes out later. You might have seen it if you stayed tuned in, but like I even knew this because I don't see this information about from like permit standpoints. The city has not been sharing permit data with the county for years. So any changes that have happened to houses in the past, they said since COVID, any permit information has not been shared with the county. So the county doesn't have that data. So the city's saying, you didn't include the permit information in the model. And the county's like, you didn't give us the permit information. And then this later in the Q&A, this ensued, and like, you know, people kind of trying to like big time each other, and like everybody get their like little clips in, and like, how can this be? Someone's in trouble, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's just like, you guys used to share it and then you stopped sharing it and you created this gap in the information that we have. So if you have updated your home, essentially, it seems like since COVID is kind of maybe where they put the timeline, they have no idea. So if you have additional space, or I don't know, I enclosed a porch, like, I don't know how to like give them that information. Like, I don't know the square footage of it, whatever. So like those things are just missed. And then they called out the interior assessment part. I think something that I was hoping would come up in the Q&A just didn't is like, why does interior assessment matter in Wilmington and not in other places? And I think we should talk about what the city is doing as like part of their initiative to try to fix this around this interior assessment thing.
One of the things that, that's a good idea. Because one of the things that I've like, I don't know where this is all going to go, but based on the analogies I've been making with like banking models and credit scores and stuff like that, is like things are going into the value of something that are going to be different than what you maybe have before, or they're going to change a lot faster too. Like, you know, you're not going to be able to keep up with how they go up and down for economic reasons that I think people sort of sense, but they don't understand. And so a lot of this talk then degrades to like the level that you're going to mention about like this in investigating the interiors of homes. So what is that? What so this is an argument Wilmington is making for why some of these got lower values or higher values. That's the other thing too. You never know.
Higher. Higher than they
So they're saying
be.
If you looked inside it's worse?
Yes.
That's what they're arguing.
Yes. So there's a, I don't know the proper terms. There's a essentially like general assumption made when you're doing a mass appraisal. I am so sick. Listen to me. I've lost my mind. There's a general assumption.
Dude, you've read that line so many times.
You know how I get. I'm just like, I need to understand every piece of this before I speak. So there's an assumption that they make when they're doing a mass appraisal that doesn't include interior assessment, which this one did not, because that would be insanely expensive. We already spent $20+ million doing this one. It would be probably hundreds of millions of dollars if you had to go into everyone's home, and it would never get done. So they make an assumption that the general condition of the exterior reflects the general condition of the interior. So if it looks like your exterior's in only fair condition, we assume your interiors are also only in fair condition, and that's it. So again, I'm like, I don't understand why Wilmington would have this point of difference where there would be this disconnect between exterior and interior conditions of homes that doesn't exist in any other jurisdiction. But that's what the city is taking action around. So that's like what came out, I guess it was last week, where, you know, in a sense, I'm glad, I'm trying to be like positive. Like, it's good that they're taking some action versus just kind of like trying to stir up anger at Tyler, which is what it's felt like they're doing. Like, they have power, they can do stuff with it. But the reality is that like the information that they're now acting on, I've realized, is they have had since the master appraisal report came out like 6 months ago. So there were two measures in the model that everyone kind of focused on. And in the city's presentation, they talk about this too. And I'm going to be so annoying. It's COD is the first one, which is a coefficient of dispersion.
I love a coefficient. This is my shit right now.
So for everyone who's not a statistical nutcase, it's a measure of uniformity. Right. So it's like shows consistency of assessment within a group of properties, and it's the average percentage deviation from the median. It's actually what we were kind of last time we talked about this. I was like, it doesn't say that the numbers are wrong. It says that there's a lot of variation in the group. So in the city of Wilmington zone, because the county was divided into a bunch of different zones and one of them was essentially the entire city, there's a ton of dispersion. Because there's a ton of difference in the residential housing stock.
Yeah, I wonder how that could have happened. I wonder if anybody's ever explored that part of it. How could that possibly happen?
Right.
Anyway,
go ahead. There's very, very expensive homes and very not expensive homes. That's what this is saying, right? So it's out of the bounds of the upper limit of acceptability within this zone. And it means that the assessed value is like highly variable within the zone, which again, just makes sense given what we're the area that we're talking about. And they actually say, like, what could cause a high COD? So does this sound like Wilmington? A market with a wide variety of property types, styles, sizes, and quality.
So this is like
an assessment area that's not homogenous.
Yeah. So this is the thing. These are your adverse action reasons.
Right.
So you're getting the reasons now. So listen to, again, Jess is telling you something. You really got to fucking listen to this. This is important. So to be that condition that might have caused that wild deviation in small areas has a bunch of different causes, and they define the causes. Yes. Can you?
Another one is inaccurate or incomplete sales data. And another is large value ranges. So properties at the very high end and low ends of the value spectrum are in the same assessment zone. I think that one's pretty well explained. Like, I think that we can probably say, okay, this is not necessarily saying that the assessments are wrong or even that the model is wrong. It's just the way that the zone looks. Okay, fine. The other one that they bring up is called PRB, which is price-related bias. So this is an interesting measure. They call it vertical equity. And what this is, I know this is so in the weeds, but
we're going to beep out that E word.
I know. Well, it's what it's called.
I know.
Vertical equity.
Vertical equity.
And it determines if the assessed value, the ratio of assessed value to market value, is different across different price levels.
This is good.
Okay.
See, I knew you would do shit like this. So what this is called, the price, what's price the name of the variable?
Related bias. PRB.
Price related bias.
Now, this one is out of range as well, and it's negative. So what that could mean is that lower price properties are potentially overassessed. So that is what interestingly, no one's really talking about that variable. That is actually the one that maybe shows that there is an issue with equity in the sense of, is there balance between where we think over and under assessment might be? So it could indicate that there's potentially some regressiveness,
right,
meaning worse for lower income or not lower valued properties than it is. The error is more on the lower side than it is on the higher side. It could mean that.
Yep.
Because
of the situation of the huge variance in small places.
Yes. Potentially. But also in this report, like, again, that came out 6 months ago, Tyler specifically explains, like, what are some of the reasons that could cause a PRB to be out of range? So you've, again, had this information since April. They didn't hide it. It's right there in the report. So from the beginning, we should have known this isn't some conspiracy. This isn't sketchiness. Like, it's not that they're incompetent. They are not just doing things wrong.
You think Kay Baker is gonna and Jake Owens are gonna be able to sell this stats? This is why we're doing it this way, to try to make it exciting for you people to listen to the real reason this is going on. This is why we ring the bell and shit. Listen up.
And my feeling is, like, if they were incompetent, why would there only be issues in one zone and not another? Like, it has to be something particular about that zone, maybe, that's causing this, right? Fair. So anybody that has read that report should know that the number's out of range and understand why, because they articulate it. And instead, what we've got was just a lot of people asking over and over, like, why is this like this? Why is this like this? How could this be? And they tell you how it could be. So I'm going to read from their report. Verified transactions. This is one of the reasons that PRB could be out of range of norm. Verified transactions for sold properties from the sales study in this area, typically superior compared to the universe of unsold parcels, i.e., the sales are not normally distributed relative to the universe, parentheses, conditions is superior for sold parcels. It's a lot of words. You know what that means? The houses that have recently sold are all of higher values than the actual median value. Okay? This could be driven by, like, things like flips. It could be driven by the fact that the city itself has been renovating properties and reselling them to do beautification and restore neighborhoods. They even acknowledge that fact in their report. So that's one big factor, is comps that we use for sales in these neighborhoods are not in line with the actual median value. The other factor is interior condition of the housing stock is a major driver of value, and it was not reasonably ascertained during an exterior inspection of the parcels in Zone 3. So it could be back to that data issue of permits. If you don't, I would, again, this is my opinion, but in my opinion, higher value properties owned by higher income people are more likely to have improvements and renovations made. So there is more likely to be missing data on the higher end than there is on the lower end.
Right.
And the county has no way of knowing about anything that might have been improved. So that's one thing that the city could fix going forward. So what they're doing, though, is they're focusing on that second part, the interior condition. They're not focusing on the comparable sales. So what the city is going to do is essentially in some key neighborhoods where they saw the most discrepancy or they saw the most like increase in taxes, they are going to ask people. They keep saying it's a random sample, but they also keep kind of saying like they're asking for people to volunteer. So I'm not really sure how they're going to go about this, but basically to raise their hand and like say, hey, can we like, yeah, come into my house. I think my house is shittier than the outside. Come see how shitty it is and lower my assessment. And I'm being a little glib there, but it that's how it feels when like you're only going into the lower income neighborhoods.
But it's accurate.
Yeah. Asking people to raise their hand to say, no, the condition of my house is worse than the inside than outside, so I should be lower. When in reality, I don't think that is the problem. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I have a statement and a question on some of this stuff, and I do want to save some time.
Because I just monologue for like a lifetime.
No, that's important. I mean, this is so important for two reasons, the statement and a question. The one is that the lesson to be learned here by people who are listening to this for project lessons is that this model in a lot of ways, and this problem in a lot of ways, has pinpointed socioeconomic political problems and capital problems and corporate real estate problems that we've built into the system. And if you dig deep enough, you can actually see, I'll give you an example that made me think of it. If you go to sort of a bigger city or a city a lot of tourists go to, New Orleans, I'm there all the time. Not all the time, but I've been there a dozen times. And since they've had a lot of flooding and other problems, a lot of neighborhoods have either flipped houses, people who are redoing a house where there's an apartment you can stay in, and they're in either neighborhoods that were flood damaged or, you know, other sort of neighborhoods that not really even gentrifying, just you could stick something in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, when you think about that, you're like, yeah, that's not indicative of the neighborhood at all, but there's like four of these houses in these two blocks because you can see tourists going in and out and stuff. And you're like, well, that's going to fuck everything up. Right. Like, how do you measure for that?
Right.
And if you think that, I mean, that's obviously an exaggerated example, but if you think that's not happening in neighborhoods around sort of downtown, like in Midtown Brandywine, for example, or Trinity, that I would say that it is happening there. And also what problems are all of the luxury stuff? What is that problem? Anyway, that's the important thing. But what I was going to ask you is, why do you think that the conversation we're having isn't had at the special session? It's very special, but they're not really talking about the shit we're talking about. Why do you think that is?
Because maybe people are not as insane. I don't know. I mean, I do feel like there's some moments in the Q&A that were like people were learning stuff. And maybe when we got there, like for the first time, and it was kind of sad to see. I'm not going to say everyone was just unprepared, but I don't know that everyone is thinking about it. Everyone is just like focused on Amazon. They're focused on Tyler did this wrong. Like they've got those hobby horses.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like it's blinding looking into like other things. Now, clearly the city has looked into these potential reasons. I question whether the one they're choosing to go after is really going to solve the problem, because what do they actually do with the information they get from interior assessments? So let's say they do.
And again, how even are they going to get them and under what circumstances?
So it's people, I think, have to volunteer. And then they're going to send people in to look at the interior of the house and do an assessment and see if it lowers their value. But like what? OK, and then they say they plan to give that information to Newcastle County. But then what happens? Like, is this like the county cannot just change assessments? Like that was the part that Marcus made, right? Like the code does not allow them to just be like, I'm going to change this outside of it. It needs to go through some sort of appeal process. So are they treating this like essentially as a a block of appeals that the city is running? Like, is it going to be applied more broadly to every neighbor, every home in the neighborhood? Are they going to just drop the neighborhood based on it? Like, that is super unclear. And again, if it's not done for everyone, are you creating something that potentially could be challenged in court? Because then it becomes like unconstitutional again, or like outside of the bounds of the way this is supposed to work. So like,
and that's
you're
another thing
creating
that they
like
bring
another
up.
Tranche of property that like sits outside of the otherwise done assessment, which I'm not saying like they shouldn't be looked at. I'm just saying like, I don't know that this is actually going to solve the problem, and it shouldn't only be done on the lower value properties, because to the point at some of these higher value properties, maybe there have been changes made that show their interior's better than the exterior or whatever. Like, it's a ratio. So you don't fix a ratio by just looking at one side of it.
Yeah, well, and you made that point when we were talking the other day. You're like, well, in some cases, they want the value to be lower, but in some cases, they think it should be higher. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can't, but you can't engineer it. That's the problem. I think the, again, if you think of this reassessment, and this is something that Tyler was saying, and I know it was driving people crazy, but it's actually true. Tyler ran models to try to assess based on their sort of more contemporary, sophisticated data, what values would be on these parcels of property. What it really is an assessment that maybe I would do as a leftist journalism person to sort of pinpoint issues like you're saying. Are there neighborhoods where houses are getting flipped, or only cosmetic changes are being made, or in the sense of Amazon, like, do people understand that's just like a storage garage? And Amazon, yes, Amazon the company makes money, but that's not like a Amazon store.
Yeah. Let's talk. You know,
it's not a store. Like, and so all
let's
of
come
this,
back to that.
So all of this, what I want people to start talking is all of this is actually identifying problems that aren't Tyler's problems.
Yes. Yes.
They're actual, and they're bigger than what you think they are.
Yes.
And the people whose fault they are aren't who you're pointing fingers at. And I think that's the important.
And to
part
be clear, when we say that, we don't mean everything Tyler has done is right. Just accept it and move on. Like, that's not what we mean.
No, not at all. Like, no, there are people. Like, I thought we were being very clear that there are, like,
it's just not one. There's not just one thing we can point to and be like, this is the problem. They did it wrong, or this is the problem. Matt Meyer moved the date, or like you know, like, this is the problem. The city data isn't at the county. Like, it's not one thing. It's all wrapped up in everything, and that's just the assessment piece. Then to your point that you made earlier, then it comes the tax policy piece, which is also all messed up.
Yeah. So let's get into some of the Q&A or the questions from the reps and senators, because a lot of this sort of plays itself out in what people are actually focused on, like the political part of it.
Yeah.
I guess I'll start with my man. And I call him my man because he's describing his district, and it's a district I grew up in. It's my Spiros, bro. Mm-hmm. Every time I think of Spiros, I think of Stavi, and then I realize Spiros talks, and I'm like, this guy's boring kind of guy.
He's not Stavi,
but again, I grew up in that neighborhood, so I appreciate the whole deal. But of course,
yes, so you saw this, so why don't you talk about?
So he brings up the Amazon thing because it's right there, and he's like, I don't understand how it got, you know, sold for this, and now it's worth this. Well, again, you sort of explained that. There's like a market, plus there's incentives and all of this shit that we do to make the sale price completely not what the value is. We do all that stuff anyway. So he's bringing up this thing about, well, Amazon's this, you know, the richest company in the world or whatever. Yeah, Amazon is. And they have a garage here that they store stuff in. But, like, the idea that that's, like, Amazon, that's your fault. That's a policy problem.
They don't own the property.
Yeah, they're renting it. Well, that's the other thing they didn't understand is, like, the value you get from it isn't the value you derive from.
Yes. Like, so this is what you put on it. A really important part. Because the question Spiros asked is, how do I explain to my constituents that their tax bills are higher because Amazon's tax bill is lower, which it's not Amazon's tax bill. They don't own the property. Fine. Maybe you could say it ends up in their rent, whatever, but like it doesn't get billed to Amazon. And Tyler says, well, I can't answer tax policy questions. And that pissed everybody off because they're like, it's not a question about tax policy. It's a question about the valuation. And it's like, well, no, you did ask, how do you explain the taxes to your constituents? So like it kind of like sputters out and then Cindy picks it up.
Well, even, and I must say here, Cindy does pick it up. Townsend did say, like, that Tyler said something wrong, but Spiros did say, how do I explain the tax policy?
I know, I was like,
and
I'm like, there's actually,
Jess just did it in like 90 seconds. Just say, Spiros, rewind this about 2 minutes. Take that 90 seconds that Jess said. Use that if anybody asked you. Yeah. Okay, go on.
So Spiros asks his question about, like, how to explain this to people. They also will not, Tyler will not address any individual parcel.
Well, that's the other thing, too, I kind of want to talk about is some of these, like, wild individual parcels.
People just keep bringing up, like, throughout the Q&A, it's like, I saw this one. I saw this one. What about this one? What about that one? And they're just like, one, I have no idea what you're talking about because you're not even giving me any details. And two, we did a mass appraisal. We didn't do individual parcel appraisals. And they just keep saying this over and over. And it just keeps getting, like, the legislators are getting so mad about it, which I understand. It is frustrating, but like it's just the reality is like they can't.
You're frustrated about the politics because you don't want to explain exactly what's going on.
Yeah. So yeah, Spiros kind of like doesn't get an answer to his question.
Right.
They go to Cindy. She brings up the income approach because what she kind of makes the point. I think at the end, maybe Tyler said something about like what we talked about the first time we were in here, how commercial real estate values have gone down, and we've especially since COVID seen this like softness, and they're just not rebounding, and the outlook doesn't look good. It's just this like we're stuck here. And Cindy picks it up, and she kind of makes this point of like, okay, but you can't use the COVID excuse with Amazon because they're going gangbusters, and look at their sales, and everyone buys from Amazon, and people aren't just buying stuff in Delaware from this Amazon warehouse; it's going all over the East Coast. And brings up the income approach. So she's like, so how could you use the income approach when we know their sales are crazy? And this was when Tyler had to explain what the income approach means.
Now, I missed this part because I fainted when I heard this. I didn't come to for about 2 minutes. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to take Jess's word that this happened.
I'm going to be honest. This was like, this to me was bigger than the alleged Meyer November bombshell because you could watch everybody's face on the legislator side sort of just be like, wait, what? Because the income approach refers to the income we're talking about property taxes. It refers to the income that the property can generate, not the company operating on that property. So Tyler explains, let's take the example of an office building. If the office building is owned by some office building manager and they rent space to a law firm, the income is the rent that the law firm pays to the office building. It is not the revenue that the law firm generates delivering its services. And you can kind of just see everybody be like, oh, because they have all thought that it has to do with sales and like a gross receipts tax of some kind. And they explain it. They also have to explain that investor means like real estate investor, not like an investor in Amazon. And then I'm sorry, but the amount of times that people were like, well, this is different than when I looked up online. Or
I did want to bring that up.
That's not what I saw from ChatGPT.
Cindy did like, this, and I'm calling and people out. I don't care. Like, Cindy did this.
What are you guys doing?
And Mike Smith did this, the two that I saw, but it happens all the time because, God bless him, Councilmember Tool did this in here too. Don't say you were just looking on the web.
Oh, my God. It's the worst.
Or you put it in ChatGPT to figure it out. You look like a fucking idiot.
Yes.
Stop fucking saying that.
It's hedging.
Because it's not even hedging. It's like...
actually undermining.
Just be like, oh, I read a Wikipedia article. Like, Wikipedia's actually better. It would be better if you read a Wikipedia article.
Yeah. You're telling the
it's
expert...
It's worse than that.
You're telling the expert in assessment, that's not what I saw online. And it's just kind
of
like
it's you
bro.
Look fuck this one of my big issues with this from the beginning is that a lot of the arguments, while they're in good faith from like sort of comrades and friends of ours, if you go too far with it and you start doing this stuff, you make us all look very fucking stupid.
Yeah. So that was a moment where like everyone clearly was just learning this in real time. Like at one point, Townsend follows up and is like, well, you really should call it the rent method instead of the income method.
You're the lawyer. Read the fucking thing,
and
dummy.
And then Tyler goes, it's not our term. It's the industry accepted standard.
Yeah, this guy, like, Scott, fucking Yale-trained attorney. Yale-trained attorney up there.
So that was, to me, a moment of like, oh, okay. This is, to your point of why aren't people asking these questions, these are the questions they're asking instead.
Yeah, and it, well, and that's the problem, is it's sort of a political, it's a special political exercise. Not really, like, they're not trying to get, this is why, like you said, what was 4 months going to get them?
Yeah.
Just doing, they don't understand what's happening.
Yeah.
And if you don't have an understanding of what it is, we could give you a year. You don't get it.
Right.
And part of the reason you don't get it is, like, the Upton Sinclair thing. You're paid not to get it. Because you designed it this way. Like, from the tax policy to the housing policy to white flight to gentrification to Airbnb, you made it this way. It's fucked up because you did it. That's why it's fucked up. Not because Tyler Technologies' math is wrong. Now, again, is there individual cases where it's a little weird because it's a special case? Like the one, the farm. Kira Hoffner was like, oh, the farm? Yeah. They paid $8 for 100 years, and now they have to pay $17 million. It was like the most egregious. Like, well, obviously something's wrong.
Right.
Like, okay, they paid 8 cents before, and now they have to pay $800,000.
Maybe 8 cents was wrong.
Now they have to pay $800,000. Well, I don't know. Okay, let's.
Yeah.
We can't sit here and adjudicate this kind of wildness.
Yeah.
What we're talking about major shit here.
Yeah. I mean, I think so we talk about, like, Boxwood Road, Amazon a little bit more, because I everyone wants an explanation for this. And I understand why Tyler can't give it to them, like, right. But, like, the thing that I wish people were actually asking a question of is, why was it $95 million in 1983 dollars last year? And now it's $108 million in 2024 dollars this year. And, like, because I really feel like that is the question to ask. And, like, because they're using Amazon to, like, call this whole thing into question, which is
just nonsense
problematic.
For the three things we already said.
Right, because, yeah, like, we can explain that, right? But, like, and everyone just keeps focusing on the sale price. They're like, how could something that sold for 300 whatever million dollars, like, only be valued at $108 million? So I'm going to actually, can I read from the Delaware Business Times, our favorite publication?
You can.
Okay.
Is this our favorite writer in the Delaware Business Times?
I actually don't know who it is.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to read two quotes. This is from the Delaware Business Times article from 2022 about the sale of the warehouse from one operator to some other operator, neither of which are Amazon, right? Like, Amazon never, quote unquote, owned it. They leased it. Okay. Quote, Amazon lease facilities have been commanding much higher values over recent years, as investors are confident that Amazon will remain a committed tenant for many years. That's one. Second one, Amazon signed a 20-year lease with Dermody for the Boxwood facility, Dermody being the operator, which opened in September of 2022. Or whatever. Not this September. The lease contains 5 additional renewal terms of 5 years each, meaning that if fully executed, Amazon could remain at the facility under the current lease until 2066. Each of the renewal periods are set at 95% of fair market value, and Amazon holds the right of first offer to buy the site should the owner ever want to exit the property. They bought the building and the stability of the lease. That's why Amazon facilities are overvalued. All of them across the country are selling at absurd prices, because the person who is buying it to operate it aren't just buying the bricks and sticks, as Tyler likes to say. They're not just buying the building. They're buying the lease that comes with it and the 45 years of rent. But Tyler doesn't factor that into their model. So the real question becomes, where did that $95 million number come from? Because that wasn't Tyler. That was done by someone else, presumably the county, when the warehouse went up. And did they just take the $300 million number and plug it into 1983 dollars and decide that was it? And was that actually an overassessment? I don't know. But that's an interesting line of questioning, not what is going on here on this specific parcel. And that's, frankly, you know, whatever. I'm sorry, Bill, but that's a question for the county. Like, why was it 95?
Yeah.
Who came up with that number?
Yeah, where'd that come?
Were they overpaying? I don't know. I'm not saying, again.
And when you like, say that, whatever, you don't even mean Amazon. I mean, you mean the owners of the property
or whatever, this Australian company.
Yeah, somebody in
Australia. But they say, I don't care. I've got, like, I'm making millions of dollars, like, whatever. Like,
and that's the thing, too. That's another point.
The old number wasn't necessarily right.
Correct.
And that's what I'm, like, keep trying to make a point is, like, they were made up numbers.
Yeah, that's not even
so where did
right.
that one come from?
And I love the idea. This is, again, because I've been like, living this. I was dog sitting a weekend or two ago, and I watched The Big Short again.
Mm, a classic.
And I was, again, having, like, visceral, like, feelings about it, because I'm like, yeah, I worked in subprime loans, yeah. Non-prime loans. Near prime, sure. Tier A, we call that near prime, mm-hmm. Non-prime, subprime. Anyway, yeah, I mean, we saw this coming. You know, I was trained on, like, top credit. Not that it was, like, good, like MBNA. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all garbage, but at least they had high standards, you know. And so I knew all of this shit was gonna break down. And, you know, I hear this now and I'm just like, this is the securitization of commercial property, right? Like you say, there's a value. We've built in this system where actually you can sell the rents for 75 years on this property if you own it and you are a private equity firm from Melbourne, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
That fucks everything up.
Yeah.
That situation, that agreement, that financialization of what used to where they used to make Chevettes. true fact.
I believe it. And Durango?
Yeah, that's
weren't
what
Durango's
so
there at
so
one
this
point?
Is this whole process is pointing out where the problems are, but not in the way that people think.
Yeah, and the reality is that sale might have been thrown out as an outlier when you're modeling.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, because you have to be
this weird $400 million thing. Get it out of here.
A lot of if then
nothing
do
else
loops.
Is like that. So yeah. Then it causes the model to not have that sway in that direction because that would raise it for maybe everybody else. But then it causes the one property that was sold for that amount to end up lower. I don't know. I'm just floating stuff. But these are some of the questions we could have heard from people.
Yeah.
Anyway, the questions, I feel like I started really petering out. I mean, I think, like, Frank made some good points about transparency. Frank Burns.
Frank Burns.
I'm going to give him a little bit of a
I did hear the end of
because
Frank Burns.
I feel like, you know, he was kind of being a little aggressive toward Tyler. It's like, these are things the state has to do. They have to mandate the transparency. Like, we can change the law.
Again, all like, of this, I know nobody wanted to hear it, but, like, Tyler's just valuating parcels based on this group valuation. The issues with it have to do with tax policy. They have to do with housing policy. They have to do
yes.
with the things that we talked about before.
Yes.
And zoning and what we allow, where we allow people to make money, where we want to put corporate, where we want to gentrify. And so that's what this is doing. So what you're saying is all that shit. And if you want, and so there is a way to address this. Like you said, the hopeful thing is that people will listen to this and be like, oh, actually, that's a really good point. That guy who says all the curse words, he brought on that young lady who knew all this stuff.
Lady. Yeah.
That's the only thing we can hope for. Because it is indicating problems, but not the kind they think.
Yeah. And these are all things that, like, so I kind of go back to, like, I think people have over this time called out the right problems, maybe, but the solutions have just been very strange. And the solutions have been to sort of be angry, even when you have like a platform and power to maybe do something different. It is hard to fix this year. Don't get me wrong. Like, that feels a little bit over. Like,
yeah.
And the idea, like, people keep floating, like, we should just go back to last year's numbers. Like, what are you talking? Like,
ship sail.
No, you got to have a spine. You got to move forward. You figure out how to fix it. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Like you said before, it's not about, it's not about, oh, we just have to deal. Like, no, it is pointing out major issues in all of the things that we've just talked about. So it's not like, let's ignore all of these problems and all of these deficiencies and all of these deviations.
Or ignore why we're here, which is that those values were inequitable also.
Right. Yeah, it's not about ignoring it. It's about understanding the problem properly and not doing the. And I'm not going to make the same hackneyed jokes. I'm not a goddamn hack. But everybody knows now that we've taught everyone what the right way to approach this is and what the dumb way to approach this is. And the more we can do the right way and address some of the real problems, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah. So that's about, I kind of lost it at Frank, honestly. There was, people started sort of trying to like be like angry daddy at Tyler. And I was like, wow, these guys are better than me. I would not allow someone to imply I'm stupid this many times without losing my mind. So,
yeah,
that
I mean, I
was
guess
like a moment.
I guess they were prepared for it. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't do that stuff. I'd be like, yeah, let me tell you something. You're up there in a special session. And I'm not. Yeah, So here's what I want to do. Number one, I want to say, can this be it? Can this be, or are we going to be back on this?
We have three more sessions of this committee.
They do this three more times?
Yeah. This was just fact finding.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Oh my God.
You signed up for a mini series, my friend.
Oh my God. This is exactly how Kathy v. Kathy started. We didn't know we were going to do it. We got sucked into it.
Oh my God.
We're going to be down in, we're going to be fucking doing live streams from fucking the Senate chamber.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So there's nothing we can do about it. We're sucked into it now. So we're going to keep following the story. I think it's going to be important going forward that we authentically engage with like the issues that we talked about tonight and not do silly stuff and make sure that people who maybe are being hurt by this understand what it is and we help them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about like leaving people to the wolves. It's about understanding who put them there.
Yeah.
It's always been about that.
Well, that's been like, I feel like Bill's heard me yell about the most is, and like for almost feels like a year at this point, I've just been like, the communication around this is awful. It's dog shit.
It's very bad.
It's very bad. No one is. And listen, everything that comes to your mailbox, your inbox, your phone calls, your texts is a scam. That is the
Don't open or listen to anything.
So that's the environment we operate in. And then you send someone one letter being like, hey, is this data right? And it's, I think, only in English. And who knows how many people even got those. And then we send you a letter about value. Like, that is not sufficient. And I think, again, maybe it doesn't matter so much going forward. But I have, like, poor Bill has just heard me yell about how the failure on so many levels to do good, like, constituent information, communication. There were FAQs, there were this, but it's all just sitting on the Newcastle County website. They did go to like libraries and try to hold sessions, but like, who knows about those? Like, you need to tell people something 40 times. Like, and then it'll break through.
You need to go to the press and all
like
of that. And
it's got to just be every angle. It's got to be swarming people. Here's what's happening. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's coming next. Like, and it's this weird thing where people got an assessment value. Maybe you opened it, maybe you didn't. But really, it's just a number, and you're like, either that feels normal or it doesn't. But you have no idea what it means for your taxes, because they can't tell you what it means for your taxes until they know how many people are going to appeal. But a lot of people aren't going to appeal until they know what their taxes are, because they don't realize what it means for their taxes. So it's just this horrible catch-22. It was always going to be painful because you didn't do it for 40 years. And there needed to be a more intentional comms plan and strategy around how do you actually get information in front of people effectively in the current climate that we're operating in. And unfortunately, it's not send them like a letter with a seal from the Newcastle County like government on it.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. I hope you can stay for a quick patrons only episode, because I hope Carl can stay, because it's going to be fun. Carl needs to have some fun. But you did mention something important before we move to that. There is another bunker rule, and you knew this, but you sort of said it before I wanted to say it, but that's fine.
Am I in trouble?
No, this is... I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Because I don't know why I'm not telling people. No. If you get a call that's an unknown caller, if you get a text that's not in your phone, if you get a call from a state that you don't recognize, if you get an email from a person you don't recognize or something you don't deal with, just immediately delete it. Don't look at it. Don't get mad. Don't be like, why do I get these? I thought I was... That's over. Don't respond to anything. If they need you, they will find you. But do not respond to shit. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's just the world we live in right now. Don't respond to shit. I respond to the people that are in my phone that I know that I'm fucking with. Otherwise, you're going to have to show up at my door to tell me what's up.
I actually just figured out this week how to get all of the notifications of Dems texting me for money to not show up on my phone. I can share that in the patrons only. You got to pay $5 for that tip.
I love what you're doing right now. I love what you're doing right now. Everybody, we're going patrons only. Left is best.